I thank you for the invitation, and I was surprised when I got it. As he just told you, I said, well, now, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop, but it hadn't happened yet, so I said, maybe it's the third time's the charm. We're glad we're here, and I appreciate Brother Newell allowing me to preach in his stead this morning, and I told him no good deed will go unrewarded. He'll have to pay for it, but that's life. All right. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Amos, chapter 3. Amos in chapter 3, that's about the third book after the book of Daniel, if you need any help finding these Old Testament minor prophets, they're called. And they're not minor. But at any rate, while you're turning there, I would like to mention a couple of troubling events that I think are taking place in this world. At least they trouble me. Amen. And there's a lot more that I could name than I put on my sheet of paper here. But I'm just looking at things that are happening around about us, and I'm just wondering why. Ultimate fighting. I don't know if you've ever watched one of these ultimate fights they call on TV. They put two guys in a caged in area, and they fight till somebody just about kills the other one. I say, are we just about to where the Romans were? My goodness, I cannot fathom that being done in front of people.
And
yeah, people cheer and want to see if they're killing. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. School teachers, preachers, getting in trouble with illicit sex. Mm-hmm. A woman with no talent, no great ability.
That's right.
All she ever did was strip off her clothes and marry a millionaire. And we can't get her buried.
And sleep with everybody else.
Whew, can't bury her. Got us have a. She's on the news every day. Still is. She was on last night when I went through CNN talking about her son. Maybe he was murdered. I don't know. It's crazy. Crazy things going on. So many cases of people shooting their co-workers and their families. I've never seen the likes of it. Mm-hmm. Never seen the likes of it. Old men tricking young children on through the internet, the computer. I think it scares me already, and already did, and I ain't never getting on it, so I think I'll just stay away from that thing. But anyway, you people do what you want, but I'll tell you, there's some crazy stuff goes on that thing. I like what they get on this forum, and I've been encouraged to get on this forum and argue back and forth, but I don't know if I have time for that. All right. Killed me the other day. You know, it didn't really bother me, and I don't think it bothered anybody that was here. But if a man's sitting on the fence wondering, is the Bible the Word of God? Is it the truth? And some guy comes up and says, I found Jesus' bones. Now, he'd have to be persuaded by that. That Bible ain't nothing but a fairy tale. You see? Terrible things are happening in our world. Don't believe Hollywood.
Amen.
They ain't. They have never made a movie yet about the Bible that's been right. And they would make you think half the people in the United States are homosexual by the shows you see. And they're not. It's a very small percentage.
That's right.
I thank the Lord for that, though.
Amen.
Because apparently if they keep getting their way, it's going to grow. But anyway, Lord help us.
Amen.
Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. I meant to say the greetings from our church there in Birmingham, Philadelphia Baptist Church. And again, I want to thank the ladies that have played songs for me and helped us all through everything we've done here in this conference. It's been a great blessing to me. I've enjoyed all the messages.
Amen.
I've only disagreed with just a very couple of things, but I can't help that. I guess I got to have my own opinion about one or two things. But anyway.
You've got to be wrong about something.
Yeah. And it's occasion. I'll be wrong. Nothing that I got mad about. If anyone wants to believe that, that's fine. All right. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, I didn't want to say one other thing before I start. Now, I've already started. So, I can't count that, but I'm going to say about a quarter till. But I'm going to say this, that the evidence of a good sermon is the preacher and the congregation all end at the same time. So y'all don't, just when you see it gets up there at 12 o'clock, don't take off, because I won't be done yet. All right. Okay. If we're going to walk together, you and me, we're going to go for a walk together, we'd have to agree upon some things.
Amen.
First of all, we would have to agree who we were going to walk with.
Right.
I'm not going to walk with just anybody.
Amen.
There's people I wouldn't walk with.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be caught dead with them, let alone walk with them.
That's right.
All right. But we walk in this world. We're Christians, but we live in this world. And I see so many things going on in this world, and I'm not going to walk with some of those things. But I have people, they come in my store, and I'm thankful for my job. It keeps me involved with the reality of life and the realities of the world and the people that are here and the troubles they're going through and things. I get to talk to them about things. And sometimes they ask me some questions and I get to tell them about the Lord.
Amen.
And I enjoy that. But you know, the Bible says over, and you don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, some were noticed and it said they had been with Jesus. They were noticed. And I like for people to come to my store and they'll say, oh, you've cheated me on them nails. And I take them over there to my scale. And I got a verse over there, Proverbs. It says it's an abomination for a scale to be wrong.
Amen.
I said, this scale's not wrong. The man's state came in here and he tested it. And just in case you are, I'm going to throw you a couple extra nails in there. Not worry about it. I want you to get a fair shake.
Amen.
And they look at me like I'm crazy.
Well.
But I don't want them to say that Baptist preacher cheated me.
Amen.
That's why I do that.
Amen.
I want them to know that there's preachers and just because we believe the Bible don't mean we got to cheat somebody.
Amen.
Okay. I had a point of contention one time, sort of, not real big, but thank the Lord, but it's in my church, and sometimes they come to you and want counseling, they want to know what to do, and I didn't know what to do with this, I didn't do anything with it that I know of, but anyway, this man and his wife, she wanted him to walk with her, but when she would walk, she wanted to do something kind of like a little bit of a jog, but she wasn't going fast, he could easily walk with her when she was going that way. And didn't have to do any of that. But he thought it looked rather silly. And he didn't want to walk with her. Now, if we're going to walk with Christ, we're going to have to do some things. You know what? I think we're going to have to put on a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You go out here and watch a military band or a military group or a band go by. You can tell they're together. You can tell they're in step. They're walking together. They've got a uniform on. They look like something. They look good together.
Amen.
If we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to look like we're with God.
Amen.
You know that? I love what it says about a man named Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him.
Amen.
I think he's a picture of the rapture, by the way. Him and Lot and Elijah. But anyway, I'll let you all think about that. But anyway, Enoch walked with God. And God loved him.
Mm-hmm.
It says over in Hebrews chapter 11 that he had faith. He had great faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he pleased God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he walked with God. That's why God took him.
Mm-hmm.
Tells us over there in Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
Do you please God when you walk with God?
Mm-hmm.
Are you pleasing to him?
Amen.
There's a deep question.
Amen.
Are you pleasing him? Oh, we need to please him when we walk
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
We walk by faith and not by sight. This makes for that holy life, the holy way that we would walk. In John chapter 3, and I'm going to paraphrase a verse there, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These things will keep you from walking with God.
That's right.
If you love the world, if you love the flesh, if you love the pride of life, you've got to avoid those things. Like say, we live here, but we've got to avoid it getting all over us and controlling us.
Amen.
I'm like Brother Pilot. I love sports, but I learned a long time ago I can't settle the game. That game they played last night, I was glad Florida won, but I could not have made one basket for Florida. I could not have made one call as the referees or whatever. I couldn't do anything except sit and watch. And you know what? After a while, you realize that ain't much. Can't be much help. So what difference does it all make? Sometimes I wonder why I'm even involved.
Amen.
Yes. But we all have our things like that. We all get involved in something. You know? American Idol. Woo! I wouldn't watch that for 5 minutes. I don't care what they, what church they come from and where that's what they're singing about. I just don't care. Folks, the world is growing exceedingly more sinful, as I've already said. Temptation stronger. Sin is sin. But you know what the Bible says? We're supposed to hate sin.
Amen.
We're supposed to hate it with a passion.
Amen.
Do you hate sin? Do you please God and hate sin? Do you love the Lord? Turn with me a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6. There's an old African parable that says that a man that takes two roads will split his pants. But anyway, I let you think about that. All right. I think that'll lead us into this a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'd like to read from if I can find it in my notes here. There it is. Verse number 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit which is in you, and ye have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which is God's.
Amen.
We're bought with a price.
Amen.
The Lord has paid for our sin and paid for us. We should be pleasing Him in our walk and in our service. So I told a young man this morning there at the preacher's, we were sitting and eating, and I said, you know what? You're the only Bible some people will ever read.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old saying, but you've heard it, but it's true.
Right.
They won't listen to what you say, but they'll watch how you live. They'll observe the things you do. And they'll say, now that's a Christian. There goes a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. Think about what you're doing. Think about what God has done for you. Think about how you will grieve God if you fall into it and do a certain sinful activity. Oh, we should hate sin. Hate it with a passion. Come over here back a little earlier in the chapter of chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceivers, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There's a bad bunch of folks right there.
Mm-hmm.
The homosexuals mentioned there, the effeminate, the adulterers,
mm-hmm.
the liars, the thieves, all of that is there. But notice what the next verse says. And such were some of you. But you've been washed.
Amen.
You've been sanctified. And ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. I thank God I'm one of those. I've been washed.
Amen.
I'm away from that kind of stuff. I don't live that kind of lifestyle. And you shouldn't either. You shouldn't be involved in any of those things that are mentioned there. I've got a young man comes in my store, and how I came to find out a little bit about what he believed, he was arguing with a Catholic. And the Catholic said he commits a venial sin, you know. I said, which is that? You know, and he explained it to me. And I says, that's not good. And I said to the Catholic, but what about you? He said, oh, I'm all right. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ died on Calvary for my sin. I said, well, as long as you believe that, don't believe what the church taught you, you'll be saved. But if you follow after the Catholic Church, you're going to be lost. You're going to go straight to hell.
Right.
But if you'll believe in Jesus Christ, if you have your faith and trust in Him, you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the young man, you see, made a profession of faith when he was about 7 or 8 years old. Went down some church, went down to the altar, confessed Christ. And he told this man he's saved no matter what he does. Right now, he's living in adultery. And he has several other bad habits involving drugs and other things. And you know what I told the Catholic man? I said, he may have went down to church and made a profession of faith, but he didn't get it. He didn't get a possession. He didn't get Christ. You cannot live like that and be a member of the family of God.
Amen.
You cannot be having your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and live like the devil.
Amen.
And do anything you want. God's not going to permit it. You know, I believe God has a way of chastening His children.
Amen.
Says over in Hebrews.
Amen.
He will chasten His children. Those are His. He'll chasten them and bring them back.
That's right.
And if you can live like that and never receive any chastening, you're in trouble.
Amen.
And this man's in trouble.
Amen.
Because he doesn't really know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks he made a profession to God. And he thinks he can just go out and do anything he wants and he'll be saved forever. What a shame. The Christian is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And if we don't have a light, if we don't show forth a light in this world, what's happening? It's going to get kind of dark. Now, I know God is the brighter light and the stronger light, and He's putting a light forth upon this earth. But He expects us to be a witness of that light and a light in our community. This church should be a light in this community. And is, I believe. People know about this church. It's shining forth the testimony of Jesus Christ. With the salt of the earth. You ever eat anything that didn't have any salt on it? I went to my mother and father's house one time. And they had both had some heart trouble and things. And they didn't have any kind of salt in the house. I mean, any kind. And they ate food. And I ate along with them a little. I had to stay alive. And my goodness, I couldn't hardly stand it.
Amen.
My mother went in the hospital a little while after that. After I got home, she went in the hospital. They said her electrolytes were off. Said she needed some salt. I said, Mother, they'll never find me in that condition. I was going over to Brother Rick Perdue's conference after I left that home. We got to Sacramento, and the first thing I did was I pulled into a McDonald's. I got me a hamburger, I got me some french fries, and I got me a salt shaker. And I went to town. I'll tell you, I thought I'd been pretty near depraved for a while, deprived or something. Oh, salt is good, the Bible says.
Amen.
Well, I got an old book about, a little tape about a doctor, and he said, if you want to kill the cows, take the salt out of the pasture. Take your salt block out of the pasture. You need to have a little now, folks. Now, don't go crazy on salt, but you need to have a little. Okay. All right. I better get off of that. I'm not a doctor. All right. Number two. That was first point, was who are we going to walk with? And are we going to walk with Him like we ought to? Are we going to be a testimony for Him as we're walking with Him? And are we going to be in the uniform and look like Him and be a testimony of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Now, when and where are we going to meet and walk? That would be important. How are you going to determine if you're going to walk with somebody if you don't even know where you're going to meet and how you're going to and where you're going to go? So you need to have that planned out. Well, that ought to be pretty simple. We're going to meet Him now. If we haven't met Him, I hope and trust if you've not met the Lord, if you've not walked with Him, you're lost, that you would determine this is a good idea. I want to walk with the Lord. And you'll be saved today. When is now, and where and how is from now on, we're going to walk with the Lord. We are not invited to walk and told, now you can come when and wherever you want. Now is the accepted time. You know, David wrote a great psalm, and I love to quote it, and I'm not going to quote the entire thing, but he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. My goodness, I love the idea of the Lord and the shepherd that is leading me, taking care of me, providing my needs, just as He has this morning. I thank the Lord for the kindness of Brother Hobbs, and I'll be able to get on the road and be able to get home before it gets too near midnight. But it's amazing that I have a shepherd that's taking care of me. He leads me. He directs my thoughts. He directs my mind. He directs the things that I have need of. He's my coach. He's my master. He's my ruler. I'm His servant. I'm nothing to my leader. Nothing to him except that He tolerates me. Has me to come in and go with Him. And He walks with me. He leads me. Oh, He gave us His Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You know, I love that because, you know, some people want to say, well, I want to see what's way out there. He didn't say, well, it'll be out there tomorrow, the next day. He says, I'll show you where you are right now and how to get just a little way down the road. You get to here, there you go. You're going to make it. Just stay close to the light. Stay close to my lamp and my leadership. You know, the children of Israel went across the wilderness. God was a pillar of cloud by day to keep them a little bit cooler. Pillar of night, He had a pillar of fire to keep them. And they were followed that. They stayed close to that. You see? Even though they rebelled in a lot of ways, but they knew where they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be either by that pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, whichever it was. Now, how fast will we walk? That would need to be determined. The lady there, she's trying to jog. But he will lead and set the pace. For He is the one that is walking. We are walking with. He is our leader. He is our master, as I said.
Amen.
And He will set the pace. Oh, maybe we'll have to walk with a little patience sometimes. Maybe He takes us along a little slowly sometimes. But it's probably needed, you know. We get into a rough place on the path, and we need to have a little time where we can just ease on and make it with Him. We walk with Jesus. Walking every day, walking all the way. All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, I want to be with Him. I want to walk with my Lord and Savior,
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, how far will we walk? Well, I think this gets into the prophetic part of this. It's all the way to our destination.
Amen.
We must have faith. Faith He will lead us every day, and faith He will take us all the way. You know, you think about this, and it's like a guy said, I read a thing where a guy said, you can tell a person there's 50 million stars out there, and he'll believe you. You tell him that's wet paint on that park bench over there, and he's got to go test it. He's going to go touch it and see if it is or not. Yeah. In other words, what I'm saying is, we have to have faith that He will lead us today, right now, right here, and faith that He's going to take us beyond those 50 million stars.
Amen.
To the place that He has prepared for us. There's a great deal of faith. There's a great deal of faith.
Amen.
I heard this story one time. A man came over here from Europe, and he stretched a cable across Niagara Falls. And he took a wheelbarrow, and he got up on that cable, and he went across Niagara Falls. Came back to where they were. He said, now how many of you believe I can take this wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls? And all of them raised their hand. Yeah, we know you can do it. You just did it. He said, how many of you believe I could put you in the wheelbarrow and take you across Niagara Falls? Is that a pretty good definition of faith? You'd have to trust Him, brother. Put you in that wheelbarrow, you'd have to have your dependence upon Him all the way. Because if you went over, you're gone. My goodness. That's the kind of faith we have to have. Totally trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
Totally. We have to learn in this lifetime, as we're going through and learning about this faith, that it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And we do not have any ability to produce this faith, make this faith, use this faith, unless He gives it to us.
Amen.
All the faith. Faith that we need. Look with me for a moment to the man named Job. Man who walked with God. Had everything he needed. Everything he wanted, practically, I would say. Then one day lost it all. Lost everything. Even his wife turned against him. Said, why don't you curse God and die? Man, I told somebody one time, I said, I believe I'd go a long way in this world and have a lot of trouble, but if my wife ever did that to me, I don't know what I'd do.
Amen.
I've needed her support and her help all my life.
Amen.
But Job's wife turned against him. And yet he still turned around and said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. Think about it, though. If you lost everything, your house, your car, whatever you might have, your health. How about your health? Would you serve Him? Would you serve Him? I was in the hospital 7 days this past year with a lung condition that I don't know how I got or how I got rid of. I got out of the hospital on a Thursday, and I was supposed to be in Texas that Friday, and I didn't make that appointment. I went to the nursing home Sunday afternoon and did my and church, of course, Sunday and the nursing home Sunday afternoon. And my wife had to play, I'd play a verse on that, and then she'd have to play a verse so I'd catch my breath. And then I'd go again. The following weekend, I was in Mississippi in a revival, 3 days. And there were supposed to be some other preachers show up, and they didn't. I was it. And I preached 3 days over there, coughing and spitting and doing all that I had to do with this lung infection. Now, I'm not bragging, but I'm just saying this. I didn't miss a thing that I knew that I should have been at. I stayed close to the Lord, and I kept trying to do all that I could do to serve Him. And that's what we're supposed to do. I didn't do anything great. I just did what I was supposed to do. And He gave me the strength. And I've gotten a lot better. I thank the Lord. I couldn't have been up here and done what I've done in this conference if I still had that lung condition. My goodness. But it got my attention. That got my attention. I'll tell you. I really asked the Lord a lot of questions about things. And I just thank the Lord that He gives us the health He does. And He can remind us in that quick that it's Him. That He's the one that gives us what we should have. Now, how glorious this walk should be. We should enjoy this and should not be a difficult position for us. He said, "My yoke is easy and My burden is light." Oh, we ought to be able to walk with Him and rejoice in this. You know, there's a song that goes, "I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold or houses and land. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause, approval, than worldwide fame. I'd rather have Jesus than anything, anything." Turn with me just a moment over Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. I'm going to get down here in a minute. Ephesians chapter 5, this has already been read. But I want to remind you of something that's in here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, and that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Jesus has a bride. We should be in that bride. But you see, we've got to walk holy. We've got to be in the church and walk holy and serve Him and be faithful, as it already was said in that sermon. I wanted to make that illustration and make this illustration about that. That I'll never forget the day when I stood down here, not right here, but at an altar at the front of a church, and my bride came through the back door and started up the aisle. I have never since had that feeling that I got when I looked down and saw her coming. I thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. And most of you men know what I'm talking about. It just does something to you. And I've been to some beautiful places, Yosemite and Grand Canyon, but I've never had that feeling ever again like I felt right then. How my heart leapt, how I rejoiced as she was coming down that aisle. And I still love her. What a woman she is to me. Amen. But that's how Christ is going to be for His church. See? He's going to, one day we're going to come down that aisle. And He's going to rejoice. This is my bride. But we need to be living holy and right in this world. Or we're not going to be in that. We're not going to be around there. Have I got about 1 minute? Maybe two?
2 minutes.
2 minutes, good. I wanted to just give you one more illustration. Pastor called one of his members on Monday and said, "How are you doing today?" And he said, "I'm having a terrible time." He said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "I can't find my glasses." I said, I hope you find them. He called him back later in the week and he was still complaining, "I can't find my glasses." Toward about Friday or Saturday, he came in contact him one more time. He said, "Man, it's been the worst week of my life. I still haven't found my glasses." Sunday morning, he came to church. He said, "How are you doing today?" He said, "Fine, I found my glasses. They were on my Bible." I'll let you all think about that. You know what? Some of us are like that a little, aren't we? We're just a little like that. We've got so much going on, so busy, that we fail to even just pick up His Word during the week and read and worship the Lord, study. We need to live a holy life. Thank you for your time and your attention.